Sirocco by Andrew Wood and Alastair Morton, Disc 8. Once they were in the lobby of the casino, they split up. Wolf's men divided, two by two, and moved to opposite ends at the base of the two main stairwells to the upper floors and the rooms. Jack and Wolf moved round to where the guard had been gunned down. The casino floor was clear now, except for the body on the floor, and the guards stood by him, shepherding guests down and out of the building. It was eerily quiet. The slot machine's lights were still on and flashing, but there was no one at them to feed them quarters, and $50 and $20 chips lay abandoned on the empty tables. The sounds created by thousands of people at the slot machines and gaming tables had vanished. For a casino that was open 24/7, it was a calmness that was unnatural. But for all the emptiness of the ground floor, the top floors were still full of people, and most of them would not have even known anything about what was going on below. People were walking down the stairs and reaching the bottom to the site of the barren and deserted casino, where they were marshaled out of the way through the front doors. Wolf's men took their positions at the stairwells and at the rear of the casino floor and helped everyone out while keeping their eyes trained on every woman who came down the stairs. They knew the shooter had blonde hair, but the guard's reporting of a wig meant that she could look like anything. So they looked at every woman carefully. Jack ran over to the guards who were standing over their dead colleague. They looked confused and unsure what to do. So he told them to hold their positions and to help the CIA secure the ground floor. As he stood there, people who had ducked for cover and who had hidden themselves at the sound of the gunshots streamed through the foyer, coming from the far reaches of the cavernous gambling floor, and the guards steered them to the exits at the front and waited for the medics to arrive.
"Did anyone see where she went?" Jack asked amidst all the confusion.
"Yeah, she went through there," one of the guards said, pointing at the emergency exit door behind them.
"Ah, but you can't have gotten out. All the exits were locked down as soon as we radioed in, and she wouldn't have had enough time. Ah, she must have gone upstairs."
Jack looked at the exit the guard had pointed to, and then back at the guard on the floor.
"Okay, then. Now listen. I need you guys to stay here, okay? And watch everyone that comes down those stairs. Don't let her get out."
The guards did as Jack said, and moved round to the bottom of all the stairwells from the above floors, while Jack headed off after Sabina, following her through the same emergency exit doors through which she had fled only 10 minutes earlier. Inside the stairwell it was dark, and Jack struggled to see as his eyes adjusted. He pulled out his gun and slowly made his way step by step up to the first floor, where he opened the door slowly. He pulled it open only a couple of inches and peered through into the corridor. But it was almost empty. A couple of women walked past, talking amongst themselves, but there was no sign of Sabina, and so he stepped out, the barrel and sights on his gun leading the way. He looked at the doorways as he walked past, but they were all closed. Suddenly, though, a door on his right-hand side opened, and a young couple stepped out, the man's arm draped around his girlfriend. But on seeing Jack in the hallway with his pistol pulled at the ready, they ran back inside and slammed the door shut. Jack continued along the corridor, but he saw nothing that indicated where Sabina had been. Downstairs, Roy and the hotel manager had reached the control room, but the head of security had failed to find Sabina in the crowds of people. Roy was looking at the screens and instructed one of the camera operators to pan round on the third floor. The camera panned slowly, making small, juddery movements as it rotated on its axis, observing the unknowing people scattered beneath. Roy looked intently at the screen, and at one person in particular. A small woman was stepping tentatively out of a room at the end of the corridor on the third floor, just underneath the camera, and she was looking up and down the corridor for something. She then stepped out and pulled the door closed behind her and walked off. But instantly, Roy knew it was Sabina. She was still wearing the blonde wig, and she tilted her head to conceal her face, but he could tell from the way she moved it was her. She took quick, pacey steps and walked swiftly past the hotel's guests without looking at them, hurrying along the corridor with an urgency that immediately gave her away. She rounded the corner and for a moment was out of sight,
But the operator flicked to another camera and they found her again. She walked along the corridor, and then about halfway along, she opened the door on her left to the stairwell. The operator again moved to another camera to follow her movement, but she was now running up the steps, and it took all of his skill to keep up with her. But then, all of a sudden, keeping up with her wasn't the problem. As they watched her on the screen, and as Roy picked up his radio to contact Jack, a light on the control panel suddenly began flashing, and all over the third floor, the fire alarm began to sound. Within seconds, the sprinklers had kicked in, and the whole floor was awash with people who piled out of their rooms. Roy turned the screen back to the cameras in the hallway, but where it had been calm only moments earlier, it was now packed from wall to wall as the rooms emptied out. In the distance, in the far corner of the screen, and at the end of the corridor, small plumes of smoke were slowly creeping out under a door and into the hallway, and in seconds, the hallway had begun to fill with the noxious fumes. Slowly at first, the smoke crawled out under the gap between the door and the floor, and wisps caught and drifted off. But the cloud of smoke quickly grew until the whole end of the corridor was black. People struggled through the water and the ensuing haze towards the exits, fumbling around and bumping into one another as the water and smoke hampered their vision, and the ensuing pandemonium and confusion provided the perfect camouflage for Sabina. The fire she had started in an empty room on the third floor quickly spread, firstly through the room and then into the hall. The sheets on the bed she had set light to were engulfed by flames within a minute, and Sabina grabbed from the wardrobe some men's and women's clothing and threw them into the flames on the bed. The room filled with smoke, which billowed out into the hallway and up into the ventilation system above. The air vents connected all the rooms, and it was because of this the smoke filled the floor so quickly, puffing out slowly but constantly through the vents along the passageway and into each room. Automatically, this set off the sprinkler system throughout the hotel and sprayed water everywhere. "Jack, can you hear me? We've got a problem. There's a fire on the third floor," Roy called over the radio. Jack could hear the alarms, which sounded throughout the building, but he didn't know what was going on. He pressed the radio to his ear, and as soon as he heard Roy's words, he ran back to the stairwell, which by then was full of people streaming down from the floor above, coughing and spluttering as they went. He pushed his way through the people, up and out onto the third floor, and he made his way along, clutching a towel from an abandoned room service cart over his mouth. He made his way along the water-drenched corridor, checking in each room as he went, but they were empty, so he ran along to the end. The blaze had spread to three rooms now, and Jack could feel the intense heat on his face as he looked into the rooms, but the fire was to be short-lived. The sprinklers had doused it heavily before Jack even reached the third floor, and it would be extinguished shortly. But the smoke lingered on, and through that and the water which streamed from above, it was damn near impossible to see. Jack felt his way along through the thick, pungent smog and called Roy over the radio to find out where to go. But he couldn't get through, the radio feeding him back a loud screech of static where his friend's voice should have been. In the control room, Roy and the head of security were hunting through the floors to find Sabina. They'd lost her at the stairwell in the deluge of people fleeing from the smoke. But suddenly they found her again. She was walking along the passageway two floors down on the first floor towards the rear of the building. The alarms had sounded throughout the building, and although the smoke and sprinklers were confined to the third floor only, the whole hotel was being evacuated now, and every floor, corridor, and stairwell was alive and teeming with people. But they still found her, trying to disguise herself with a group walking down the first floor corridor past room 140. Roy tried the radio again, and this time it connected. "Jack, if you can hear me, she's on the first floor, at the rear of the building, heading towards the back stairwell." Jack heard Roy's instructions and turned around and ran through the mass of heaving bodies to the stairwell and pushed his way down to the first floor. "Roy! Come in, Roy! Can you hear me?" He tried to reach him over the radio, but there was too much interference, and all he got was loud screeching feedback. "Roy!" He couldn't get through, so he made his way to the rear corridor, pushing blindly through the crowds of people trying to get out as he looked for Sabina. His clothes were wet and sodden from the sprinklers upstairs, and his lungs choked as they tried to expel the smoke he'd breathed in. But he battled on regardless, his will and determination overcoming any obstacles his body or Sabina could throw at him. She could have been anywhere by now, and he could have come across her at any moment, her body suddenly appearing only feet away through the mass of people. The number of people was lessening now as almost all of the rooms emptied and the corridor began to quieten again. Roy had tried to get through over the radio, but he couldn't. So, instead of watching Jack on the monitors, helpless and unable to do anything, he left the control room and ordered Branson to direct him to where Jack was. He ran back through the corridor and into the foyer and up the huge stairwell at the front of the building, while Branson shouted directions at him through the radio. "At the top of the stairs, turn left and go down to the end." Roy's heart was pounding as he pushed his way along the corridor, one hand holding the radio to his ear, the other clutching his pistol. "Now, the emergency stairs are on your right. Just there, go through the door." Roy did as he was told, Branson following his progress on the monitors as the operators followed Sabina and Jack through the crowd. He pushed the bar and opened the door and ran up the stairs to the first floor, and then out into the corridor. People were everywhere, and he couldn't see along, so he jumped to try and see over the mass of bodies and heads, but he couldn't make anything out. "To your left! Go to your left! Keep going!" As Roy was pushing his way through, Jack was making his way along the corridor ahead of him. They were heading towards each other from different directions, and would meet, Branson hoped, by the rear stairwell at the very back of the building. It was the largest, and was the only one that reached from the top guest floors down to the cleaning rooms in the basement, and he could see on the monitors it was where Sabina was headed. With a bit of luck, Jack and Roy would cut her off from both sides. Where Jack was, the floor had quietened down considerably now, and he moved forward slowly, his gun drawn and ready. He walked along the corridor, pushing each door open gently to see inside. All of the rooms were empty. As he inched along, suddenly a door to his right swung open and Jack dropped to one knee, his gun pointed in its direction. "Freeze! Police!" he shouted. But where he expected Sabina to be standing, there were two bodies. A young man and a small girl had appeared in the doorway, the man first with his arm draped protectively over what was probably his daughter, and they stood stock still, petrified at the sight of Jack and his gun, which was pointed directly at them. "Don't you know the building's on fire?" he hollered at the pair. "Get out of here!" And they ran off down the corridor sheepishly. Jack lowered his gun and breathed a heavy sigh of relief. The floor was almost empty now. At least he hoped so, because he didn't want to end up cornering Sabina and forcing a hostage situation. He moved along the corridor again, checking all the remaining rooms as he went, down to where the corridor bent round to the left. He waited at the turn and hurriedly peeked around, only one eye at first, pushing his head out to look along the empty corridor. A housekeeping trolley lay on its side. Its contents sprawled out over the floor, and the doors to the rooms were all open, but there was no one in sight. So Jack proceeded. He walked along the corridor quickly, stopping to look through each open doorway one by one, and his shoulder rubbed along the wall as he pressed his body as close to it as possible. He peered into each dark room, but they were all empty. So he worked his way further along. About two-thirds of the way down, as his neck was arched and he was looking into a room on his left, the swing doors at the end of the corridor suddenly opened. He turned back and looked to see Sabina standing in front of him. Her bag hung low across her shoulder and her gun in her hand. For a moment, they stood looking at each other. Sabina had not seen Jack before, but she could tell instantly that he wasn't a guest. Jack held his gun by his side, standing halfway between the empty room and the corridor, and he stared at Sabina, who stood rooted to the spot, looking back at him. She knew that the Secret Service would have been on her tail, and she could see that Jack was the man leading their charge. Throughout the cat-and-mouse chase, which had played out across the United States over the last 7 days, Sabina had always been one step ahead, and Jack one step behind, putting the pieces together and following the trail. But now they stood as equals, separated by a mere 20 feet of carpeted floor space on the first level of the prestigious Vegas Hotel. It was the first glance she had had of the man who had been battling to stop her from completing her mission. and it was the first time Jack had come face to face with her. But to him, it seemed almost impossible that she had been the one carrying out the attacks. She seemed shorter than he'd expected, and she was pretty to look at, so he thought. But Jack knew that appearances were always deceiving. Behind her sculpted face and her petite frame, and concealed behind her misleading femininity, hid a shrewd and calculating killer who would stop at nothing. She had no morals and did not care about what was right or wrong, nor did she care about the reasons for the attacks she had been instructed by Suleiman to carry out. All she cared about was herself, and that was what made her so dangerous to Jack. The moment they stood looking at each other seemed to last for an eternity, and neither one of them knew what to do. But then Jack's radio roared into life again, and Roy's voice broke the stalemate. "Jack, if you can hear me, I'm on the first floor. I'm coming up." The radio crackled, and in the time it took for those few audible words to carry into the standoff, Sabina lifted her gun and fired a spray of bullets at Jack, the silencer making each one sound like a precision dart flying through the air towards its target. Jack ducked into the empty room for cover, and the bullets ricocheted around the doorframe, sending chips of wood splintering off into the air. He waited for a moment, but it was quiet. There were no more shots, and he looked cautiously into the hallway and drew his head back quickly. Seeing Sabina had gone, he ran down to the swing doors, crushing under his feet the bars of soap and little plastic bottles of shampoo that littered the floor, and down to the stairwell at the end. 6 empty shell casings lay on the floor where Sabina had been, but she was nowhere to be seen. He opened the door and stepped out, looking up and down the stairs, and then he stepped through. He looked to his right. It was the staff entrance to the laundry room. But as he did so, he heard footsteps behind him, and he turned around to find himself face to face with Roy.
"Jack, she's here. She's on this floor."
"I know," Jack replied, a little exasperated. "I saw her. She ran off into the laundry room."
"Roy, come in," Branson's voice interrupted. "We've got her on camera. She's in the laundry room at the back, but be careful. The alarm has triggered the emergency system and unlocked all the doors. Look, I don't know if you can hear me. We can't override it."
Jack looked at Roy. "We've got her. Go back downstairs and cut her off from the other side. I'll try and flush her towards you, okay?"
"Sure, Jack."
And he ran back down the stairwell to the ground floor. Jack took a deep breath and then crept into the laundry room from the stairwell. It was a large room with a very high ceiling and was full of baskets and trolleys and machines. Above the ground ran a dense and complex network of tracks along which the laundry and dry cleaning ran, and large white sacks of bed linen hung from them. The power had been cut as soon as the fire alarm had been triggered, so they hung sporadically like large white clouds dotted around the roof of the room. Jack stepped down the stairs, one by one, watching all the angles and corners for movement. He knew Sabina was in there, but where, he could not tell. Everything was silent and still. The bags of clothes hung motionless in the windless air, and the machinery lay dead and lifeless, its energy and life support lines cut off. Jack dropped to the floor and crawled along on one knee, getting down as low to the ground as possible to see under the cascade of dirty linen. Somewhere off to his right, on the other side of the vast industrial room, was Roy, creeping through the darkness the same as he, looking for Sabina. Jack moved away from the far wall over to a half-full trolley by a bank of washers and spin dryers, and he crouched down behind it. He could see over to the far wall and the exit door, which slowly opened from the outside, and in through the tiny gap moved Roy. Somewhere in the middle, Sabina was hiding. Jack looked over the top of the trolley, his head surfacing above the parapet just enough to see. A huge row of pressing machines on the far side ran the entire length of the wall, interrupted by 2 exit doors 20 feet apart from each other towards the middle. Apart from the exit by Roy and the exit behind Jack, this was the only other way out of the room. Jack gripped his gun. He had not fired a shot yet and had a full magazine of 13 bullets, 12 in the clip and 1 in the barrel.
He looked across the room for movement, listening intently for the slightest sound that would give away Sabina's position. Realizing his chance, he grabbed his phone from his pocket and called the cell number Don had given him. If Sabina still had the phone, it could have just given him the edge he needed. Better late than never, he thought to himself. He ducked down behind the trolley and scrolled through the numbers till he found it, then pushed call. He pressed the phone to his ear and listened, waiting for the ominous sound of the line connecting and then ringing. Seconds later, in front of him and to his right, and much closer than he'd expected, the unmistakable sound of a phone began, its small electronic tone filling the vast room. Jack got to his knees and peered over the trolley, but before he did so, the ringing stopped. Everything was still and silent. As he scanned the room, a gunshot rang out, and it clattered the metal bar over which he was looking. Jack fell to the ground, landing on his back, and he clutched at his head instinctively. But he was all right. Sabina's shot had missed, but only by inches. He rolled over the ground and looked across the floor, hoping he would see her feet as she moved. But as he looked in the direction he thought the shot had come from, the machinery and the rails above his head suddenly whirred into life. The huge sacks, which had hung frozen in their positions moments earlier, jolted into movement and now swung from side to side. A procession swung along the length of the room, and the noise created meant Jack stood no chance of hearing anything. Sabina could let off another 10 shots and slam the door on her way out, and he would be none the wiser. He tried to see up over the trolley again, but was wary of exposing himself to another sniper shot from Sabina, so he crawled off to his left to a different position. Once he got to a safe point, he crouched down again and looked up just in time to see Sabina's back as she ran through the exit doors on the far side. Jack aimed a shot after her, but it was too late. She'd made her escape, leaving the bullet to hit a door where a moment ago she had stood. He got to his feet and yelled through the radio for Roy to follow, and he ran over to the door, crashing through it without a thought for his safety, and Roy followed quickly behind. They found themselves in a long hallway, banked on either side by concrete walls. But in either direction, it was clear, and Sabina was nowhere to be seen. They decided to split up, Jack taking the right and Roy the left, and set off in search for her. The long walkway connected the industrial areas on the periphery of the hotel, linking the two laundry rooms with the security offices and the back rooms of the casino, with exit doors to the outside. Roy had moved only a few feet when two security guards rounded the corner.
CIA, don't shoot! Roy yelled before any stray bullets found their way towards him. We heard gunshots. What's going on?
The taller of the guards asked straight away.
We chased the shooter through here from the laundry room, but we lost her.
But before Roy could finish, the sound of a car engine roaring into life caught their attention. They ran towards the closest exit door, the guards leading the way, and pushed it open, breaking the small glass security seal as they went. But they got outside in time only to see Sabina, in her car, speeding past. Her window was wound down, and as Roy and the guards ran out after her, she let fire, spewing a hail of bullets towards them as she went. One of the guards was hit, but Roy escaped unscathed, his quick reactions saving his life again. The guard lay on the ground. One bullet had hit him in the chest, lodging in his metal-plated vest and breaking a rib on impact. But the other had grazed the side of his head. Luck was on his side tonight, too. He lay grasping his chest, tugging at the straps to loosen his vest as blood trickled from the wound to his head. But it was just a scratch, the bullet glancing the side of his head across his temple, just above his ear. The blood ran down the side of his face and over his neck and shoulder, but he was going to be okay. He pulled himself up and staggered over to the wall behind, his right hand pressed down hard over the wound. His breaths were short and strained, and he couldn't talk easily. But he was alive, and he motioned to Roy to leave him. Roy ran off down the road after the car and met Jack, who ran out from another exit from the hotel.
Where'd she go?
She sped off in a car that way,
Roy said, pointing in the direction of the speeding car. Jack looked and could see the car careering off towards the exit. Sabina put her foot down and clipped a number of cars as she sped through the parking lot and round the corner, hammering her way through the police cordon out into the main street, where she accelerated off. Jack and Roy gave chase on foot. following her and running round to the front of the hotel, where they were met by 100 shocked faces, as the police onlookers couldn't believe what had just happened. Without missing a beat, Jack ran up and commandeered the first black and white he got to, jumping into the driver's seat as Roy leapt in beside him. He leaned out the window and flashed his ID to the bewildered police officer. "Get an APB out for a dark-colored Lincoln Town Car. Black, possibly blue, lone female driver." The cop looked stunned. "And get a paramedic team to the rear of the building. There's a guard down back there. Go, do it now," Jack bellowed, and the cop sprang into action. "Yes, sir." The wheels of the Las Vegas patrol car spun and the tires screeched as Jack slammed his foot to the floor. The car juddered for a moment as the burning rubber gripped the asphalt, and then it lunged forward, leaving a trail of smoke in its wake, and Jack steered a hard left out of the parking lot. Pedestrians scattered as Jack hurtled across the neatly tended and mowed gardens at the front of the hotel and over the sidewalk. The traffic in the street, which was heavy in both directions, skidded to a halt as he drove across two lanes of the carriageway after Sabina, narrowly missing a pickup truck that swerved out of the way and crashed into a fire hydrant. "See if you can get the airborne," Jack said, and Roy grabbed the radio hanging from the dashboard. "This is unit..." He paused as he scrambled to see the car's unit number. This is unit 22 requesting aerial assistance. We're heading north on South Vegas Boulevard in pursuit of a female driving a dark Lincoln Town Car. I repeat, a dark Lincoln. We're heading towards the downtown area past Sahara Avenue." Roy waited for a response from control. It only took a few seconds for the dead air of the radio to bristle with the information they needed. "This is Sky Patrol. We have a visual. A dark Lincoln on the north of Vegas Boulevard, doing about 50. Jack put his foot down and weaved in and out of the traffic. The siren was blaring and the light flashing, and he hammered on the horn, but none of the other vehicles seemed to notice, making Jack's job to catch up with Sabina all the more perilous, for himself and for the others on the road. He swerved in and out, racing past the other cars on the inside and outside lanes with only inches to spare, pushing the car and his driving skills to the limit to catch up with her. "Sky Patrol, this is Unit 22. We're in pursuit. Where is she now?" "Right, I've got you. Keep going north. She's still on the boulevard. Passing Charleston and Bonneville. She's heading for the city center. Keep going. You're on her." Jack continued after her. He could see Sabina had been through there, and at great speed, from the damaged cars pulled up on the side of the road and the groups of people all congregated on the sidewalk. "She's turned off the boulevard," Sky Patrol said. "She's done a left and is now on Bridger Avenue. You'll be coming up on it in about 20 seconds. It's a hard left, so slow down." But Jack ignored this advice. The Sky Patrol chopper was hovering above the city, watching the action below, and the two camera operators were keeping tracks on the two cars, one on Jack and one on Sabina. Sabina was tearing through the packed city streets with reckless abandon, ramming cars off the road and smashing through the lights in her plea for escape. But Jack was quickly making up ground. The two cars were clearly visible from the patrol's unique vantage point, two small darting dots of combustion-propelled determination slicing through the city. Sabina raced down Bridges Street, which was just south of the downtown hotels and casinos of Fremont, cutting through traffic. And she sped over the junction with Casino Center Boulevard, sending cars flying in all directions. "Stop! We have a collision," patrol said. "She's hit a civilian vehicle at the junction of Bridger Avenue and South First Street. I repeat, she has come to a standstill on Bridger and First Street. The suspect is now on foot and carrying what looks like a briefcase and something else." "Ah, shit, I lost her." Sabina ran from her car and down the street as the chopper's searchlight scoped the street for her. Jack was just turning into Bridger Street when the patrol said Sabina had crashed, and it spurred him on. He sped down the road and skidded to a halt where a man was pulling himself out of the car that Sabina had hit. His face and head were cut and his neck whiplashed in the collision, but he was okay, and passersby had rushed to his aid. They were now only a few streets from the Golden Nugget Casino they'd been in earlier that night. It seemed like fate, returning to only a couple of hundred yards from where they'd first been. And before the chopper pilot radioed his last sighting, Jack knew that that was where the chase would end. The chopper crew told him Sabina had run south down First Street. But from there, they'd lost her. And Jack and Roy gave chase, grabbing the radio from the car as they went. They ran down the street, but couldn't see anything. And then, suddenly something caught Jack's eye. Sky Patrol said she was carrying a case. But if she were fleeing for her life, she wouldn't have just left everything. He thought for a second about what could have been in the case, and looked around the street. And then all of a sudden, he knew where to go. Chapter 31. Sabina had crawled from the wreckage of her car as steam rose from the engine, grabbing her pistol from the seat next to her. She'd spent most of her bullets in her escape from the hotel, and only had three left. She got out of the car and staggered to the trunk, wiping the blood from a cut above her left eye with her sleeve. She opened the trunk, took the case and a pump-action shotgun, and rushed off, throwing the keys away as she did so. She hurried down the street, ignoring the people watching her, running down the empty road, clutching her shotgun tightly in her left hand. She knew that her pursuers would be on the scene quickly and that she had to work fast. So she ran into a multi-story car park on her right, set back just off the road. She had run through the ground floor and was in the elevator at the back when Jack and Roy arrived outside. Jack knew Sabina would be looking for somewhere to plant her bomb, and his instinct told him he would find her inside. The neighboring stores were closed, and a busy bar or casino would be too conspicuous. The car park was perfect, full of places she could hide a bomb. There'd be few people around to see her and get in her way. Sabina went up to the fourth floor and looked for a place to plant the bomb she was carrying in the briefcase. The car park was almost full, with most of the bays boasting expensive sports cars and large saloons in keeping with the wealth and extravagance around. Sabina balked at the cars on display and picked her target carefully, walking up to a red Porsche parked against the far wall just yards from an elevator. She knelt down next to it and took out the bomb, setting the timer to detonate in 15 minutes, and put it back in the case, pushing it safely under the rear of the car, next to the wheel by the wall, safely out of sight. Jack and Roy were inside the car park now and were searching for her. They didn't have time to take each floor one at a time, so they split up.
You take the first two floors. I'm gonna go higher. If you find anything, call me on the radio.
Okay. Be careful. She can really handle a piece.
Don't worry. So can I. I'll be ready for her.
Roy took the stairs at the front, and Jack crossed through the ground floor and went up the stairs at the back of the building. Roy began searching the first floor, and Jack went up to the third. Back at the hotel, Sabina had run from floor to floor, and Jack knew she would do the same here. She would have wanted to buy as much time as she could, so he knew he'd find her on the upper floors, she having assumed they would search each floor one by one on their way up. The third floor was clear, and he was walking up the stairs to the fourth when he heard the sound of breaking glass. He ran up and out of the doors, but couldn't at first see where the noise had come from. The floor was quiet, and there wasn't anyone about, but he knew she was there somewhere. He pulled out his gun, slotted a new clip in and cocked it, and then began looking. He bent down to look under the cars, but still couldn't see anyone at all, not even the feet of someone standing still trying to hide. But as he stood up, Sabina's location became all too clear. She sped out of one of the bays behind the wheel of a chrome-colored Lexus that she'd hot-wired and drove straight at Jack, who leapt out of the way, rolling over the hood of the car next to him and dropping his gun in the process. Sabina missed him completely and crashed into one of the concrete supporting pillars, but she reacted quickly and threw the car into gear, reversing the length of the floor in one go. Jack picked himself up and looked for his gun, which he found under the car next to him, and ran after her, firing at the windshield. The glass shattered. He didn't hit her, but it was enough to cause her to lose control, and she banked into a row of parked cars, getting her car lodged firmly in the process. She tried to drive forward, but it wouldn't budge. She had hit the car behind with such force it had shot up and was resting partly on hers, the two fenders forming a mesh holding them together. Jack ran down after her, but by the time he got anywhere near, she'd gotten out and was running for the stairwell. Jack fired at her again, but she was obscured by the massive cars and concrete supporting pillars in between them, and he had no chance of hitting her. She was almost at the stairs when Jack rounded the last car and had a clean shot, but as he took aim, she turned round and pointed the shotgun at him, letting off three quick blasts. Jack dropped and ducked down behind the row of cars for cover, and the shots sprayed over him. The car took the full force of the shots, smashing the windshield and bodywork. As Jack lay on the floor, shielding his face, a torrent of glass and broken metal rained down on him from above as Sabina fired off round after round. When he got up, she was gone, and he immediately gave chase, running to the stairs where he saw Roy coming up from the floors below. She hadn't gone down, and so the only place she could be was on the roof. They opened the door leading to the roof and could see Sabina, pinned by the patrol chopper overhead, behind one of the large exhaust fan outlets 20 yards in front of them. She was sitting on the ground, tucking herself in as tight as she could to the aluminum side paneling of the vent, as the chopper's searchlight combed the roof for her. But she saw Jack and Roy open the door, and she opened fire. She was trapped, but they couldn't get to her either. And now Sabina's shotgun blast had given away her position to the chopper. The pilot was maneuvering round so the sharpshooter on the back could get a clear shot. Sabina fired at the door again, and then turned her weapon on the helicopter, firing at the cockpit. The pilot swung the controls, and the chopper dipped suddenly just as the sniper took his shot, and he showered the roof with bullets.
"Don't shoot, goddammit!" Jack yelled into his radio. "Cease fire! Sky Patrol, cease fire! We need her alive!"
She was no use to them dead, and if the sniper killed her, they'd never find the remaining bombs. The chopper dived down the side of the building out of sight and out of Sabina's line of fire. But as soon as it was gone, she got up and ran to the access point on the other end of the roof. Jack waited to be sure the sniper wasn't going to fire again. He didn't want to get killed by blue-on-blue friendly fire before he could identify himself. And then he opened the door to the roof again, but Sabina had gone. He ran out and looked, but she wasn't there. And then he saw the small access point on the other side. It was a small metal ladder, and he hadn't seen it the first time he opened the door, and he knew this was where Sabina had gone. If she had any smarts about her, she would have seized her opportunity and made a dash for it while Jack and Roy were pinned down by the chopper. He ran over and looked down the small gap and could see it only went down as far as one floor. He climbed onto the ladder and lowered himself down, not even looking to see if it was safe first. He wanted Sabina, and that was all he could think about. Self-preservation didn't even come into it. He gripped each step firmly as he climbed down, and then he jumped from the last rung onto the concrete below and looked around. He was tired and out of breath now, and he knew he couldn't go on much further. His heart pounded in his chest, and his throat was raw, and his legs felt like they were about to give up on him at any moment. But as he knelt down to catch his breath, he looked around and saw Sabina. He pulled his weary body to his feet and started again. She was clever and was running for the ramps this time, avoiding the stairs. But her escape route was suddenly cut off by a car coming the other way. She fired at the driver, a middle-aged woman who screamed and stopped the car. Sabina opened the door and pulled her out by her hair. The woman shrieked in pain and grabbed at Sabina, but all this did was get in her way, and Sabina turned round and with no thought at all fired two shots into the woman's chest, dropping her to the floor. She kicked the body away and jumped in the car and tried to reverse back down the ramp. But she was too late. Her time had run out, and Jack had caught up with her. He stood at the top of the ramp as she reversed away from him, steering wildly in her panic. She could see Jack standing tall with his legs apart at the top of the ramp, pointing his gun and taking aim at her, a light in the ceiling directly over his head illuminating him as the single threat to her escape. And then he fired on her. As the car drove backwards, picking up speed, the bullets flew through the windshield and struck Sabina, hitting her in the left arm and shoulder, and the car crashed into the side barrier as the ramp curled round behind her. It was perfect shooting. Jack ran down the ramp, almost tripping as he went, as his legs threatened to buckle under their exertion, and he could see Sabina sitting in the driver's seat. He ran down with his pistol trained on her and could see her frantically looking for something. He walked up to the car until he was just a few yards away, and only then could he see what she was so desperately looking for. Lying outside the car, only a few feet from the door, was her shotgun.
You looking for this? He said, picking it up.
Sabina looked at him, at the gun he held in his hands. It was over.
Now get out of the fucking car, he ordered,
and he threw the shotgun under a nearby parked car. Sabina moved slowly and without hesitation, and she looked directly at Jack, right into his eyes, as if she were saying something to him that only he could hear. As soon as she set foot out of the car, he grabbed her and pushed her backwards onto the hood. Roy had caught up now, and he ran down the ramp to where they were and pointed his gun at Sabina, allowing Jack to get his breath back. Jack was tired and exhausted, but he'd got her. Still got the better of someone half his age. And although he wouldn't admit it, it felt good.
Roy, her shotgun's over there.
And Jack pointed to one of the parked cars. Roy went over and retrieved the weapon and discharged the shells from it, unseen by Sabina. With the gun in his hand, he went back to Jack, who was still gasping for his breath.
Where are the bombs? Jack shouted. It's all over now. We got you.
Sabina looked at him and half smiled.
Tell us where they are. Now! That's your only hope of saving yourself.